10 a.m. W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. High-level talks in Cairo aimed at getting a ceasefire and hostage release in Gaza ended with no deal. Lower-level talks will continue.
The White House is showing some optimism in ceasefire talks. A senior administration official says even though Hamas rejected the latest deal, Hamas negotiators are still in Cairo where discussions are happening. And U.S. officials say the U.S. was not involved in the Israeli airstrikes over the weekend, but they did help the IDF track incoming attacks.
ABC's Perry Russum. At least five people have been killed in what's being called a massive Russian missile and drone attack on Ukraine, targeting energy infrastructure across that country. It's apparently still going on. Seattle-Tacoma International Airport says it was hit by a cyber attack that has hobbled its operations, particularly for international travelers. Officials not offering a timeline for when the airport will return to full functionality. Travelers told to arrive much earlier than usual. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. University of Wisconsin Regents have approved mass layoffs at UW-Milwaukee. Nearly three dozen employees will lose their jobs on campus. During a meeting Thursday, Regents said they were put in this position because the UW system doesn't have enough funding from the state. Often tenured professors are safe from layoffs like this, but state law ended tenure protections in 2015. The employees work in the College of General Studies, which will close next summer. UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mohn said cutting these positions is necessary, even though the Faculty Senate voted against it. And the FDA has signed off on new COVID-19 boosters. Spread of the virus is at its highest summer peak since 2022. The new boosters from Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech will roll out soon. The CDC recommends everyone over age 5 get a COVID booster and a flu shot. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers drop one to the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers got home runs from Gary Sanchez and Willy Adames, but came up short, losing 4-3 to the A's in Oakland. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
The story was, you know, obviously that they stuffed us offensively. We had one at bat with a guy in scoring position. We hit two home runs, and we flew out or popped out nearly every time.
The Crew are back in Milwaukee and host the Giants tomorrow night. NFL roster reductions. Packers wide receiver Grant DuBose was praised during training camp for his speed, his routes, and his downfield blocking. But will that be enough to make the team?
You just got to have faith. And I've been telling myself this, control what you control. It's above me. Ultimately, it's in the decision of the people in the front office. You know, hopefully, you know, I did enough to where, you know, they think highly of me, you know, to bring me back. But if they don't, that's just that. You know, kind of just on to the next. You know, that's the business that we're in. That's just kind of how you got to approach it.
That's Packers wide receiver Grant DuBose. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of
Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean,
at your
it's
house.
A whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vegas might get Swift boated, all right. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio. The presidential race is now set and underway for the kind of 10-week ride we sure weren't expecting a month ago.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a heat advisory in effect for today. The heat index, 100 degrees or better this afternoon. Partly cloudy in the low 90s with a chance of afternoon and nighttime thunderstorms. Tonight, 65. Tomorrow, cooler scattered thunderstorms, upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Crute and Dom.
Dom and Crute return on Monday after doing double duty at the DNC last week. They'll have a recap of the convention as well as analysis of all the events that happened over the weekend.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
1570 AM.
The Zone.
Well, good morning, folks. Whether you're up with the roosters or still easing into the day, I'm so glad that you're making the Midwest Farm Report a part of your morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, and here at the Midwest Farm Report, we try to connect the dots on what's happening in agriculture. Today, for example, we're hearing more about the only chocolate-type curriculum in the world. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, will have weather details on the way as well. And the latest Wisconsin 4-H impact report showed that membership grew 8%. We'll hear more on the new programs that help make this possible. Plus, a Farm First Dairy Cooperative field rep joins Pam Bianchi to share more about how much of a resource that they can be for our farmers. All of these are yet to come.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But it, from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam, what I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get to these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
In Madison at the University of Wisconsin College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, we have Babcock Hall, which is famous for ice cream and a few other things. But here at Utah State University at the College of Agriculture and Applied Sciences, they have an Aggie Chocolate Factory, a learning and research center that is run by Andrea LeDuc. Andrea, tell us about this facility, because it's very modern and it looks like it's very new. What is the overall focus of this center?
The focus of Aggie Chocolate Factory is actually to provide teaching, research, and studies opportunities to students, faculty, and the community. So we try and help everybody in the chocolate industry and through education. We are here to encourage people to explore food science and getting into that industry and how awesome of an industry it is. And we're just kind of unique as the only university-owned chocolate factory in the entire world. We provide an opportunity for single origin makers and small makers to learn from us, but we also can offer an opportunity for large industry professionals to come and experience chocolate with a hands-on opportunity. You know, large companies don't have the space or to make small batches at a time, and so sometimes they need to learn the basics, and they can send professionals to us to learn that from there. They're also generous enough to share some of their secrets where we can share that with smaller makers also.
How did this facility come to be, and how old is it?
So the fine chocolate industry started in the 70s, and it's only become big in the last 20-ish years. This Aggie Chocolate Factory started in, well, the factory opened in 2018. In 2015, Dr. Silvana Martini started a class called Chocolate Science, History, and Society, where students could learn about chocolate making from bean to bar. We had guest speakers come in from large companies, and the feedback from the students was, we wish we had more hands-on opportunity. Dr. Martini didn't want to just melt down chocolate and re-put it into molds, so she had the idea for this pilot plant, modeled after the creamery business model, and presented it to the dean, and our dean thought it was a great idea, and especially when he found out we would be the only one, he really liked that idea. So in 2018, Aggie Chocolate Factory opened its doors. It started with single origin chocolate plus a bakery, and then we've kind of morphed into more different origins of chocolate and are taking on a kind of a different path now.
As far as the students are concerned, what kind of degrees can they get? Is this a Bachelor of Science in Food Science? Can they get a master's? Can they get a PhD? How far can you take them?
Yeah, you can go all the way up. So we were created to encourage undergraduates, which would be getting their bachelor's, the 4-year degree in food science. We also have plenty of master's students studying different things with cocoa and other things, not just chocolate. We still have the same thing that most ag schools have. And then Dr. Martini, who again, she specialized in crystallization of edible fats, had a PhD. So there's plenty of growth to go in food science. I personally like food science because a lot of degrees are going into, you have to go harder. You have to get a master's degree to actually get into the industry. But currently with food science, you only need a bachelor's to really break into what you want to do.
How did you get involved with the industry in chocolate? Because I've been to chocolate farms on Hawaii, cocoa farms on Hawaii, and they grow it all over the world. Is chocolate from these pods that you get, or how in-depth can we get as far as educating these students on the different types of cocoa we can get?
I mean, chocolate isn't just chocolate from all the way around the world. Well, let me give that a caveat. Chocolate behaves pretty much the same way wherever it's from, but the flavors are very vastly based off of the general terroir of the land and the fermentation process, and that actually hasn't been studied a lot on the farm. So cocoa's on the backs of like 2 million micro farms, and it's not anybody's single source of income. So not a lot of study has been done to verify species and that kind of stuff or grow a consistent product. But we can get more into that. So there's on-the-farm research that can be done. Here at the university, last year we had a Fulbright scholar who was studying the firmness of cocoa butter based off of where it grew in proximity to the equator. And she found that the further away from the equator, the softer the chocolate was. And that was really interesting to be part of that. We made a chocolate that was from the very southern part of Brazil, and I could squish my thumb into it even after it had been set. It was so soft.
We hear dark chocolate. We hear of milk chocolate. We hear of white chocolate. All that, is it all after you get a hold of that pod, so to speak, and the nibs and start making it, you adjust it to what the final product will be? And what does that take?
That's exactly it. So I don't get the pods here. The fermentation is usually done on the farm, and I will get the beans, the seeds. When I get the beans, I can use them based off of a different recipe. So dark chocolate actually doesn't have any rules around it. Dark chocolate can be anything. So we have a bittersweet chocolate that has a minimum count of sugar and a minimum amount of cocoa mass in there. Then I can make milk chocolate that will have the minimum of milk fat in there. And I can make sweet chocolate, which has a whole lot of sugar. And then white chocolate, where we remove the cocoa powder. So there's a lot of rules, but they all come from the same bean.
As we look at the process again, what does it take to teach students all this stuff? I mean, I would think they come in and, you know, they want to get food science, but all of a sudden you're teaching them, this is just one area of food science, is the chocolate. I mean, it has to be kind of overwhelming. The chemistry has to come in here. There's a lot of things at play here.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Cocoa has a 5,000-year history. We've been consuming it as a people for 5,000 years. Usually it was a drink, and then 200 years ago they figured out how to make it into a bar, and quickly after that they figured out milk chocolate. And so there's a lot of the history, and that's what the class is for, the Chocolate Science History and Society. We go over the history and learn a little bit of reverence for the product in the first place. Then we learn some manufacturing and how to get it to do what we wanted to do, and we also learn the science behind it, the polyphenols and all of the antioxidants that make cocoa such a unique thing. So it's a baseline product. The students spend 15 hours of lab time in my chocolate factory making chocolate from bean to bar, testing viscosities, testing grind times, testing all kinds of stuff. So I think it's a really neat experience for food science, and it exposes you to a really fun part of food science before you get into nitty-gritty.
I have to ask you, the machines that you have in your lab, have you designed them? Are there other people that have designed them? But I would think maybe it's trial and error, and all of a sudden you decide this is what really works, and you turn that into a machine?
No, the machines are actually all Italy. A lot of the machines are made in Italy. So we have a roaster oven that's from Idaho. The Dietrich roaster oven is from Idaho. We've got the winnower and the grinder are from Italy. I've got two tempering units from Italy, and then three of them are from Chicago. So it's and then our grinding wheels are just whetstone grinders. That the technology on that hasn't changed in like 200 years. They've just added motors instead of being rotated by animals or our own force. They've just added motors, so it's still just stone wheels.
I have to ask you, you deal with chocolate or cocoa from all over the world. Where is your favorite place to get it as far as the raw product before you turn it into what the consumer gets?
It's really hard to answer that question because mine is whatever I got last time, whatever the new chocolate is. There's no way that I'll be able to taste all of them ever. So I can't have a favorite because I won't be able to experience everything. There are a lot of trends. Ecuador wins a lot of awards. Madagascar is a really big trend right now. My favorite of our products is probably Dominican. Our Dominican 50% bar is my favorite by far.
Do the students absolutely end up in this business, or where will your students go? This is just one part of your curriculum.
Yes, so students can go to anything that manufactures food. If you think about a grocery store, every single product on the shelf at the grocery store, including some of the cleaning products, need food scientists in there to develop and maintain safety and maintain quality. So there's a vast amount of jobs that they can get into, and it's a worldwide industry. Food is produced everywhere, so you can go everywhere with that. I've got one student in Germany right now at a chocolate factory. We've sent students there every summer for the past 3 years. She's going again. She's going to go down to Brazil later this school year to do a little internship down there. So it's literally everywhere. I mean, I joke that I want to end up at the Swedish Fish Factory doing quality assurance, just snacking, and that's in Turkey. So we can go anywhere with food science.
What's your favorite chocolate that you produce here?
That I produce here? Our Dominican 50%, but that's not my favorite chocolate. I actually prefer Peter's Burgundy chocolate. It's the best eating chocolate I've ever had. So that's my goal, to produce something as good as Peter's Burgundy.
How popular is this major and coming in here? Do you have to turn students away from this particular focus?
So we have 150 students and a 50-person waiting list, and it fills up every year.
It's quite a project. It's quite a place. Andrea, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming by.
All right, Andrea LeDuc, and she's in charge here of the Aggie Chocolate Factory Learning and Research Center at the College of Agriculture and Applied Sciences at Utah State University. From the chocolate factory, it smells like Willy Wonka's place. I'm Bob Osold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Warm weather, humidity, and thunderstorms in Wisconsin bring mosquitoes that bite and annoy us throughout the spring and summer months.
They're there. They're always there. And then when we have high rainfall years, they're going to be more prevalent.
In fact, the first confirmed case of the West Nile virus has bitten Wisconsin. It was found in a blood donor from Washington County and also in a dead bird in Chippewa County. The West Nile virus is spread to humans, birds, and other animals through the bite of these infected mosquitoes.
Eliminate any water sources, dump those flower pots out, don't let dog or kitty pools sit, fill them when you're going to use them, and then dump them out. Clean the gutters, reduce those sources is definitely going to help. You want to still be able to enjoy your yard.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gwyneth Paltrow, she has a company called Goop. You remember that project she sold? She found a way to bottle her the scent of her privates.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That's a little pretentious. That's the last thing I would want to inflict on the population. Hey, everybody. Here's Pete's crotch. Line up. You can get it fresh here at the Farmer's Market, or you can buy it in aisle 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, is my guest host for the day. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Weather, it is time for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Compeer Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. You can learn more about them and find a location near you at compeer.com. So, Stu, are you going to be celebrating National Dog Day today with your pup, or is it even going to be some good walking weather?
It's going to be awfully warm, and I know my dog's getting a little older. He'll probably be happy to lay in the air conditioning on the floor somewhere, just because it feels better. We have a very warm day in store. There's an excessive heat warning in effect all the way from the Twin Cities to Eau Claire, south, right on through La Crosse, the Dells, Madison, and Beaver Dam, and right down into far southeast Wisconsin. Further north and east of that I've talked about, there's a heat advisory. Rice Lake, Wausau, Stevens Point, into the Fox Valley, and right up toward your lakeshore. Very, very warm conditions, high levels of humidity. That heat index, the feels like, will push up into the 100, possibly even near 110 degree range in western Wisconsin. Very hot and dangerous if you're compromised or have problems with heat and working in the heat. Today is going to be a real important day to take care of yourself and not try to overdo. Low pressure will build up out of the southwest, crossing right into Wisconsin tomorrow. So the scattered rain we see in northern Minnesota, that starts to develop in Wisconsin quite late tonight in the west, and then spreading through the state tomorrow and into tomorrow night. And I believe we're going to talk about showers. Could be some thunderstorms, localized heavy rain a possibility, more so strong winds developing around this system. That's one of the biggest things we'll be watching into the day tomorrow. That very warm air sticks around yet through Tuesday, but we start to cool and dry it out some toward Wednesday. A whole lot cooler weather by the end of the week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Welcome back. All righty, Stu, let's hear that weather forecast.
All right, with the excessive heat warning in the west and southwest today, we expect to see mostly sunny and hot conditions. Temps up into the low 90s most places. Heat index easily pushing up into the mid-100 to near 110 range. South winds 5. Overnight clear early, becoming partly cloudy. In the west, there may be a little shower activity. West and central Wisconsin toward daybreak, we hold in the low and mid-70s. Mostly sunny, hot, showers and thunderstorms then developing, maybe tomorrow morning, redeveloping later in the day. Temps still up into the low 90s in most places, and the west winds become north. By Wednesday, mostly sunny, only upper 80s, sounding cooler. A little slight chance of a shower again late Wednesday night or Thursday, Charity. Otherwise, the heat should begin to break.
Well, that sounds good. It sounds like maybe I won't take my dog for a walk. And like you said, maybe we'll enjoy the air conditioning and I'll give her some extra treats instead. Once again, everybody, this is Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Stick around with us because you never quite know what you're going to learn next here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York's highest court upheld two lower court rulings August 20th, giving New Yorkers the opportunity to routinely vote early by mail without an excuse. The decision rebuffed state and national GOP leaders who sued to overturn it. Governor Kathy Hochul signed the New York Early Mail Voting Act in 2023, a law, not a constitutional amendment. It allows any eligible voter to apply for an early mail ballot with no excuse, subject to approval by the local board of elections. Like any absentee ballot, it must be returned or postmarked by Election Day. New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik and state and national Republicans sued, arguing that the Early Mail Voting Act was unconstitutional because the state constitution specified in-person voting only. They also argued that a constitutional amendment ballot initiative authorizing no-excuse absentee was rejected by voters in 2021. A 7-justice panel reviewed decisions from two lower courts and found that since the mid-1960s, the legislature had implemented absentee accommodations without a constitutional amendment and agreed that the legislature had the authority to enact the law. One justice dissented. Earlier this year, the New York Board of Elections opened an online portal for citizens to apply for an early mail ballot no later than 10 days prior to the election. New Yorkers, we've linked to the portal at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. High-level talks in Cairo aimed at getting a ceasefire and hostage release in Gaza ended with no deal. Lower-level talks will continue.
The White House is showing some optimism in ceasefire talks. A senior administration official says even though Hamas rejected the latest deal, Hamas negotiators are still in Cairo where discussions are happening. And U.S. officials say the U.S. was not involved in the Israeli airstrikes over the weekend, but they did help the IDF track incoming attacks.
ABC's Perry Russum. At least 5 people have been killed in what's being called a massive Russian missile and drone attack on Ukraine, targeting energy infrastructure across that country. It's apparently still going on. Seattle-Tacoma International Airport says it was hit by a cyber attack that has hobbled its operations, particularly for international travelers. Officials not offering a timeline for when the airport will return to full functionality. Travelers told to arrive much earlier than usual. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The 4 hotel workers arrested in the death of Devante Mitchell have pleaded not guilty. Prosecutors allege they pinned Mitchell to the ground in June. He later died. The defendants include 2 security workers, a front desk employee, and a bellhop. They're charged with felony murder. They each face up to almost 16 years in prison if convicted. All 4 defendants are expected back in court October 15th. And a Wisconsin company scored a huge new military contract. Here's Lisa Hale.
Oshkosh Defense has awarded a $1.54 billion five-year contract to build new and refurbished heavy tactical vehicles and trailers for the U.S. Army. Oshkosh Defense has produced over 71,000 heavy tactical vehicles for the United States and other nations. The Army can start buying vehicles from Oshkosh Defense on the contract this month.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers drop one to the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers got home runs from Gary Sanchez and Willy Adames, but came up short, losing 4-3 to the A's in Oakland. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
The story was, you know, obviously that they stuffed us offensively. We had one at bat with a guy in scoring position. We hit two home runs, and we flew out or popped out nearly every time.
The Crew are back in Milwaukee and host the Giants tomorrow night. NFL roster reductions. Packers wide receiver Grant DuBose was praised during training camp for his speed, his routes, and his downfield blocking. But will that be enough to make the team?
You just got to have faith. And I've been telling myself this, control what you control. It's above me. Ultimately, it's in the decision of the people in the front office. You know, hopefully, you know, I did enough to where, you know, they think highly of me, you know, to bring me back. But if they don't, that's just that, you know, kind of just on to the next. You know, that's the business that we're in. That's kind of how you got to approach it.
That's Packers wide receiver Grant DuBose. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Entertainment reporter Chris Foran joins the show to talk movies and TV. And Wisconsin native comedian Mary Mack joins the show to talk about her tour of the state.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have a heat advisory in effect for today. The heat index, 100 degrees or better this afternoon, partly cloudy, in the low 90s with a chance of afternoon and nighttime thunderstorms. Tonight, 65. Tomorrow, cooler scattered thunderstorms, upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah. Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbus Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
And beat in Alabama or at home later in the season.
Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you on this Monday morning. Like many of us in the agriculture world, 4-H was a big part of our lives growing up. And the latest Wisconsin 4-H impact report showed that membership grew 8%. Stephanie Hoff has the story.
Rural communities still make up most of 4-H membership, but Wisconsin 4-H has seen growth in urban areas with help from new programming. Program leader Jessica Jens explains.
In our urban areas, we have staff and volunteers who are being very creative to build out 4-H clubs and groups that reach those young people too. And I will say that a lot of our after-school programs and now our new classroom 4-H clubs are reaching our urban families and urban young people the most. We can't always assume that young people have access to 4-H. So I moved here, my family and I moved to Wisconsin when I was in fourth grade. And my dad had a job where it took him out of town a lot. He was a surveyor for a company. And my mom's job was second shift and wasn't able to be around many times at night. And so when a friend of mine said, hey, I have a 4-H club, would you like to become part of it? I, of course, wanted to. But how I was able to get a lot of my access to that 4-H club was because that my friend's family adopted me, right? and drove me there and things when I didn't have an availability to do that. Now, I said I was from a multi-generational 4-H family. My mom was a 4-H'er, so she was all into it. But my family structure and my lived experience was very difficult for me to have parents who could be engaged in the 4-H program with me. And so that's where our after-school programs, if you think about those, come into, right? Families who don't have the ability to have a parent around to drive to the community club meeting at night, those kids can't really be part of 4-H as easily. So when we bring 4-H into after-school programs or even into the classroom, it now opens up access to all kinds of kids around the state, which is very exciting.
One example you had given me was bringing baby chicks into the classroom. But are there other opportunities for 4-H to be a part of the lesson plans? And what has the response been like from teachers?
I will say we are just beginning the journey in Wisconsin to do this. So we are in very early stages. And we have wonderful county educators across the state who are experimenting with partnerships with their local schools. So one of them is Chick Quest, up in Winnebago by our 4-H educator up there. And we had a wonderful response from several different schools in her county. And that is where she would go in and teach these lessons. And they would hatch chickens and they'd learn all about chickens. But it's really about the youth development aspect of it. So helping young people have a sense of belonging, positive relationships with adults. All of those things are really important. And then those young people in that class have an opportunity to join 4-H. And once you join 4-H in a county, regardless of what kind of 4-H club you're in, you now have the opportunity to do all those county programs like summer camp or even show at the county fair if you'd like to, right?
Jessica Jens is Wisconsin's state 4-H program leader with the UW-Madison Division of Extension. If you'd like to bring 4-H into the classroom, get in touch with your local leaders by searching Wisconsin 4-H online. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th.
Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Today, we're heading to the Hop Yard at Four Winds Farm in Fitchburg. Farm manager Joey Dunscombe says their 4 acres of hops helps engage the public in agriculture.
Absolutely. Well, we do get just random people that will stop on the side of the road and get out and be like, what is that? What are those hops? You know, literally, they'll just pull over on the side of a mildly busy road, you know, and get out if they see us working. But we've also had guests get married with the hops as background, and that's, they make sure they book their wedding while the hops are huge. So their backdrop of their saying I do is 18, 20 foot tall hops, you know.
Joey Dunscombe says that one of the goals of Four Winds Farm in Fitchburg was to educate consumers about farming. They're able to do that with their hops. Learn more about Four Winds Farm at gowiagtourism.com.
Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you on this Monday morning. A sample of producers around the country will be getting agricultural survey questionnaires sent to them from the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. The agency is taking a comprehensive look into the 2024 production and supply of small grains, including wheat, oats, barley, and rye. They will contact nearly 2,000 producers across Wisconsin to determine the 2024 acreage yield and production for small grain crops. Additionally, they will be surveying commercial grain storage operations to also determine estimates of grain stocks stored in any off-farm facility. You can learn more about this as well as find other agribusiness news stories on our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. Now let's take a look at our morning markets. From Chicago, cash corn is trading at 364, down 3¾. New crop corn is trading at 387¼. That's down 3¾ as well. Cash beans are trading at 948. That's down 4 cents. And new crop beans are trading at 968¼. And that is down 4¾. And wheat is trading at 5½. And that is down 1¾. And the dairy side of things now. September class 3 milk contract is trading at 21.73 a hundredweight. That's down 6 cents. And October milk is trading at 22.25, down 5 cents. Barrel cheese closed Friday at 210, down 12¼ cents. 40-pound block cheese closed at 203¾, down 4 cents. And the AA butter closed down 2 cents at 313.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up.
The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, Todd Albaugh. Join us next time as we are back in Wisconsin after covering the DNC. We'll look back at the news of the weekend and get you ready for the last week in August. Badger football coming up.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Already know that, but boy, I'll tell you what, for the average consumer, the processors out there, it's important that you understand that net that is a part of Farm First Dairy Cooperative that helps to provide you with top quality milk every day. That goes into your products, and obviously that goes in your refrigerator as well, even if you don't see the Farm First label. Barb Grzywinski is along with me. She's a field representative that makes a lot of stops on Wisconsin dairy farms Monday through Sunday, quite honestly, if they need her. And that's kind of the message she wants to share with you today. As a field representative, you really are considered, or should be considered, a major ally to any dairy that you're working with. No matter what they need, you want to have a conversation.
Oh, definitely. We are there to help our members in whatever way we can find and whatever person needs, which is great. We have young people that want to get ahead, they want to do something different, and we want to be a part of their growth.
One of the things that Barb likes to focus in on and help farms with is adopting practices that are part of a national program called FARM. It's all about making sure that we've got protocol in place for different practices on the farm. When did you become acquainted with the National FARM program, Barb? Tell me a little bit about what you learned at the outset, and there's been some changes recently.
Well, I've been in the industry, the dairy industry, for over 20 years. So now I was trained about 2 years ago to be an evaluator for the FARM program, F-A-R-M program. And I am so happy now to be able to use my 20 years of knowledge to help farmers and have a discussion about what the standards are now in the industry. You know, it's a great discussion to have because it's important. We want to make sure that our farms understand the standards so they're nothing surprises them, and we can have a great discussion about, okay, this is a great idea, and maybe this isn't such a great idea anymore.
You know, and we want people to understand, dairy farmers in particular, you know, it's a volunteer program, shall we say, created by the National Milk Producers Federation as an assistance guide for really dairies all across the United States. And there are dairy voices that help to bring up concerns, issues, practices. So it's not like this is a regulatory agency, nothing like that. But boy, it does represent the dairy industry well in the face of large processors that have questions, large processors that may have protocols they want. This is a great platform for the conversation to begin.
You're right, because one thing that dairy farmers forget, you work so hard all day long to put a quality product in the tank, and then we forget, like, once it leaves the farm, now your processor is the one that has to assure the public that the milk that is making those great products, the cheese, the ice cream, all those great products, that the cows are being taken care of well. And again, like, there's no question, vast majority of our dairy farmers are doing a great job. This is just a way to have a conversation that to make sure that we are, or it's like, could we do something better? Yeah. Like, should we change something? Just having a conversation.
Yeah, and we do this all the time on the farm. I mean, from what we're feeding cows to what the milk test looks like, I mean, we're always evaluating, and looking at every cow as an individual in a big way. Now, let's talk a little bit, Barb, about some of the things that you do when you show up on a farm. The first thing I think is cute, Barb says, thank you for working with Farm First.
Right, we do appreciate all our customers. customers, because it is great that they are the what makes up Farm First, right? And they're really the heart and soul of Farm First.
Yeah.
So for the FARM program, when we do that, we first of all, we're having conversations with the producer before. How can I help you get ready? Because it's a lot of paperwork. It's overwhelming. And most farmers have lots of other things to do in the day. So we are there to help get you ready for the evaluation. So we provide that service. If there's something that you would like to share with your employees, Spanish and English, we have material to help with training, to help with onboarding. We are there to help you in your day-to-day and through the, and especially with this process of going through a FARM evaluation.
Yeah. And the other thing, Barb, was we were chatting about this and how sometimes there'll be an issue that pops up and farms get very concerned about, oh my goodness, Barb's going to tell on me or something like that. That you couldn't be further from that. You are there to be addressing whatever concerns they have. Something happened, okay, how are we going to fix it? How are we going to make sure it doesn't happen again? You are not a regulator.
No. In fact, what I tell people is you shouldn't be scared of it. We are having a discussion, and most farms, I tell people, really think about it as you're telling your good story. When we're talking about how do you handle treatment records, you know, we're looking for specific items to ensure your safety as a farmer, but then also, like, tell me the good story about how many different ways you're protecting your milk and meat supply, because most farmers have multiple ways and they work very hard and they need to tell their good story.
Yeah, they just don't slow down and think about it. And honestly, that's where Barb comes into play. Having that conversation with her as a field representative, she can pull from you the things you do every day that could be documented, could be part of your story, which could be very important to where your milk ultimately ends up. Again, Barb Grzywinski, along with us, field representative for Farm First Dairy Cooperative. Now, there's been some recent revisions to the National Farm FARM program. Tell me a little bit about why those revisions were made, Barb, and what caught your eye.
There was just some tweakings from the 4.0 to 5.0. One of the major tweaks right now is the treatment records, that FARM would like to see 8 specific items in your treatment record. Again, really, this is to protect you. If ever something came back and somebody came and said, hey, I think there was something suspect with this cow, you can say, if you've got great records, you can say, nope, that wasn't me. And it's all about having great records and records for 2 years to show you consistently track all your treatments.
Right. The other issue is how you handle animals that might have some physical limitations. I know that farmers are very conscientious about this to begin with, but you're there to try to help them come up with plan A, plan B. Maybe you're thinking about a remodel or renovation. Is this a conversation that needs to be a part of that? I mean, you're there to try to provide solutions.
Correct. We are there to have the discussion. You know, when you want to move a cow, when you want to ship her, is she fit to be transported? Is there something else we need to do? Does she need to be shipped sooner? It's again, having the conversations that really, in the end, protect you and also provide a great product for our consumers.
Right. And again, remember, folks, that's what Farm First is all about. They are working with many different processors, many different places that your milk ends up, and getting everybody on the same page as far as the need for that quality product being documented and telling your story. Not only is it valuable today, but Barb, you know, you're listening to what others are saying about the National Farm Program. This is going to become a critical part of being able to move milk likely in the future.
We are so fortunate that this is really still a volunteer program. It's not a government mandated program. So dairy farmers, there's actually 10 dairy farmers that are part of the decisions that are made as far as the standards that are set. So it's great that we still have a voice. It's still our own program.
Yes.
And 99% of the milk in the nation is under this program. So really, it's we're all in this together, and we're all working together to assure consumers that we're providing a good product from cows that are taken care of.
Yeah, and so again, if you're a non-farm consumer, what she just said is exactly the message you want to be taking faith in, that 99% of the milk that goes into any products is anywhere in a grocery store. It has come under these kinds of conversations. Now, Barb, if people say,
Well, wait a minute. I had somebody like you on my farm. Couldn't, maybe it wasn't dairy. Maybe it was a beef operation or something different. You're open to conversations with people that are from Farm First, as well as others that might have questions or are looking for some assistance. Because really, you are a tool in the Farm First Dairy Cooperative box, but your knowledge you're happy to share with whoever's got questions.
Correct. It's another service we provide our members, because again, the FARM program can be a little confusing. Yeah. And if you need help, we're there to help.
Excellent. Barb Grozwinski along with us, one of the field representatives that's there to help you, a member of the Farm First Dairy Cooperative. Go to their website if you'd like to get connected with Barb or any of the field representatives. That's farmfirstdairycooperative.com. For Farm First, I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Federal investment spurs local investment in higher ethanol blends in gasoline. Next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A $500 million grant program is making higher ethanol blends available at the gasoline pump. Grand Island, Nebraska-based Bosselman Enterprises is an example of the way fuel sellers are responding to the grant program. Randy Gard is chief operating officer.
When we look at either buying a location, building a location, a core component of that is the higher blend economics and how many gallons we think we can sell. And honestly, it benefits us that if we put higher blends in, we're willing to pay a little bit more to buy a store or even build one.
Bosselman operates a number of convenience stores and travel plazas. Gard says higher ethanol blends are a slam dunk when you factor in the grant support.
We're in the business to make money, and the cornerstone of any convenience store or travel center is fuel. And we know that economics are really tight when it comes to fuel. We know we'll chase pennies. We don't chase dimes and nickels and quarters. And higher blends help us sell more gallons, make more money on those gallons, and we're just better off for it.
Gard says the grant program helps soften the anxiety over the facility's investment needed to upgrade. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio. The presidential race is now set and underway for the kind of 10-week ride we sure weren't expecting a month ago.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about how we talk to ourselves. And I want to suggest a one-word change that can help when you're struggling to get your money life on track. We all know that savings are important. We all know we should have savings. But most of us have less than $5,000 put away. Money gurus and experts usually start yelling and shaming people right about now. But come on, real life is messy and expensive and complicated. And when we don't meet our goals, a lot of us say, oh man, I failed. And that's where the magic word comes in. The word is learn. Try this on. I'm learning to save. I didn't get where I wanted to this month, but I can do better next month. There's lots of science about the best way to change our behavior, and shaming ourselves doesn't really work. That's why I like to tell myself and you, you got this. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Until next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A state of emergency.